Good morning. You guys doing all right? Before I jump in, thank you, Pastor Dave, for that wonderful introduction. I'll pay you later for that. I just think it's really important that we give God just a moment of praise. I hope he didn't come. We're going to do it in one moment. I hope you didn't come for any man or any person. You came to be with the Lord today. And I don't know if I'm going to get through preaching today. The Lord is here, and his presence is here. And so I just think it's really important that we make sure we give the right honor that's due to the Lord this morning. So come on, can you just put your hands together, and can you just bless the Lord? Come on, give him the praise like he's in the room this morning. Come on, you can do a little better than that. Give the Lord just some praise this morning. You know, when a king walks in the room, people's postures change. And I just want to encourage you that it's okay for your posture to look a little different than what you're comfortable with when the king walks in the room. And we're not about emotionalism. I know this church isn't about it at all. But there's a response physically that happens when a supernatural king walks in. And so I just want to encourage you. He's here. He's here. He's here. The Lord is here this morning. Come on, the Lord is here this morning. And it's really kind of him to be here this morning with us. I'm just amazed that God shows up when his people cry out to him. Amen? Well, I'm going to jump in this morning, but I want to make sure, too, to just give honor to Pastor Al and Chrissy. We love them. My wife, Rachel, and I love them. We love your whole pastors, all of your pastors, your team. You have the best pastors in Chicago, and we count them pastors to our lives, my wife and I. I know some of you are new. I'm seeing a lot of new faces here, and that's beautiful. But Pastor Al and Chrissy have been pastors to my wife and I and our church and our team. We pastor Oasis Church Chicago right over there by UIC down there in that part of the woods. And we're coming up on 9 years of a church plant. And God is doing a lot of cool things. And I'm just so thankful and grateful. I was here a couple Tuesdays ago, and Pastor talked about just preparing for revival and being ready for it and being willing for revival. How many of you want revival to hit Chicago? All right, I know it's 9 o'clock. I might have to get some coffee passed out, but how many of you want revival in the city of Chicago? Can I see? Yeah. And so we're just believing together that God's gonna move. He's already begun, and I just believe it's gonna be an outpouring like we've never seen before. I'm a young guy, I'm only 38, but I just believe Chicago's gonna be turned upside down. And it's gonna just happen through willing people showing up, continuing pursuing the Lord and giving their lives to him, and we're gonna see something special. Amen? Amen. My wife and I are just, my wife Rachel, I don't have a picture, but we have our son Titus, who's 6. My daughter Eden is about to be 4. Pray for her and her salvation. She needs it. Some of you, this is just me. I'm here. And my wife is expecting literally any moment. Like, I could get the call today that she's going into labor. So that'd be fun. How fun would that be? Yeah. We're expecting our 3rd baby girl's coming, and baby girl Haven, Divine. We're gonna have a blessed time welcoming her. So I just wanted you to know a little bit about me and who I am. I got saved at 22. My life radically turned upside down by the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. And I just pray that never gets old for any of us. That when Jesus saved you, that with that moment, that it just doesn't become stale, or I need some new revelation, I need some new breakthrough. The breakthrough happened for me at 22, and I'm still living in the breakthrough of what Jesus did in my life at 22 years old as a 38-year-old, and I just believe God's going to continue to just move in my life and in yours. I had another message coming into yesterday, and I was prepared all week, and then I just felt like the Lord just kind of turned me upside down and said, I want you to bring this message. So if it's not good, just take it up with the Holy Spirit. Cool? And if it's good, then I heard rightly, and God's really good. Is trust hard? Is trust hard? Is trusting someone or something hard? Yeah. Is trusting God easy? I'm glad you said that. You passed the test. Trusting God, I have found, since 22 to 38 years old is something that I think I'll never outgrow learning and discovering how to trust the Lord more and more, because it is a really difficult thing at times. I want to talk today, and I hope today the Holy Spirit just has already begun and will continue to speak to every single person in this room, and that the Holy Spirit will build our hearts to be hearts that deeply trust the Lord. We need trust in the Lord in this hour more than anything. And so I want to preach a message entitled this: Why Are We Going This Way? Why are we going this way? If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read two passages of Scripture. Can I read two passages of Scripture? I'll give you three. Matthew, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. This wasn't in my notes, so team, don't worry about it. But it says this: But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And I just felt in my heart that as I was walking in here today, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to remind you that it's those that endure till the end get the prize. We'll be saved. Trust is a huge factor in that. Trusting God is required for us to endure to the end. There's a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. This is one of my two, not my third. This is one of my two. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, and it says this: And we know that in all things, everyone say all things.
All things.
Say all things.
All things.
In the original, all things means all things. It's all things. Like everything. In everything, God works for the good. Everyone say like he's really good. For the
good.
For the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we know that in all things, in everything, God works for the good. If I'm being honest with you, I think that is the most pivotal passage of Scripture in the Bible. That's a hot take, Pastor Dave. I think for believers, we need to look at that and go, in all things, God works for the good. In all things, on the mountain, in the valley, in the good doctor's reports, in the bad ones, in the wins, in the losses, all things, God works for the good. You ever read that and just go like, I don't think God's working all things for the good. Anybody? Come on, come with me. I read that, I'm like, that's hard to grab. That's difficult to hold on to. It's not easy to look at some of the things that we face in life and go, this is God working all things for the good? But like I said, I'm not that old, but I've been with the Lord long enough. I got history with God long enough that God does work all things for the good. And sometimes he's just got to take us on a journey through some stuff so that we can see God work for the good on the other side of the journey. And so today, I think in talking about trust, I want to break off. I just pray the Holy Spirit breaks off the spirit of expedited processes. The quick fixes, the Insta this and Insta that. I was laughing the other day. I've never done Instacart, never. But I needed some groceries. We just moved and I was like, and I ordered groceries. You all like, Pastor, that was 10 years ago. I know, I'm way behind the times. And they showed up in my house faster than I could have got. It was crazy. I don't even have to leave my house anymore. Praise God. We want everything fast. We want everything expedited. We want everything the way we want it. And what I've learned is in trusting God, his ways are higher than my ways. And I've learned that God takes us on some paths and some ways in our lives that actually teach us to trust him, even though it feels like God's left us. Go with me to Exodus chapter 13. This is going to be our teaching text today. Why are we going this way? Exodus 13, verses 17, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. The people of Israel have been in captivity. They've been in slavery. If you're new to church, let my people go. Pharaoh, right? All that moment's happening. And this is the release of the people. And it says this: When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. So the Israelites left Succoth and camped at Ethrim and on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. Come on, that's good news. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night, and the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. God took them in a roundabout way. Lord, I just pray, as we've just been here all morning, just honoring you and praying that you would come by your Spirit and speak. I just pray right now, even in these few moments, that you would develop deep trust in our hearts for the Lord. Oh, Lord, we're here today as people hungry, as thirsty people for you. We just pray, Lord, you would remove, the spirit of pride, or, Lord, the spirit that says that we can do this on our own. Lord, we need you in this hour. And we trust you for your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. I was recently close to up here on the north side of the city. This was a few years ago, and I had to call an Uber. I had a meeting back where I'm from in Pilsen neighborhood. And I got the Uber, and I got in, and the traffic said it was going to be like an hour and 15 minutes. Welcome to Chicago, yeah? And I was freaking out because I had to be in this meeting in 45 minutes, and the math wasn't adding up. So I jump in this Uber with this guy, and he pulls up the address thing on the maps, and he looks, and he says, is this where you're going? I said, yes, sir, this is where I'm going. I'm running behind. I got a big meeting. I'm an important guy. And the guy's like, I don't care about any of this. Like, and he turns the map off. So immediately, one of two things is going through my mind. One, I'm about to just head somewhere with this guy. It's not going to be good. Two, what are we doing here, guy? And he's like, hey, I know these roads like the back of my hand. You know, there's a difference between Uber drivers and former taxi drivers. Come on, some of the older Chicagoans know what I'm talking about. Come on, am I talking to anybody in this room? Like, there's a difference. Some of the Uber drivers today are like, I have just moved here and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, God, we're in trouble. And then you got taxi drivers who are like, I've been around these roads. I know where I'm going. He said, hello, sir. I'm a former taxi driver. I know where I'm going. And I was like, all right. Like, and this man started driving us down roads and side roads and ways, which felt like it was going to take forever. And I kept saying to him, because I'm a control freak, hey, man, you sure you don't want to get back on the highway? You sure you don't want to jump over that way? He's like, man, can you just let me do my job? I was like, yeah, sure. And would you know, lo and behold, as we start to get closer and closer, the time is getting closer to where I'm going to make my meeting. And I'm like, oh, man, this guy knows what he's doing. He knew what he was doing. He took what appeared to be a longer route along through the city, but I got there on time. If I would have went the shorter route that the GPS says, see, Google's great, but this man was much smarter than Google. He should start a business. Google said this was the route, and he said, I actually know that that route's not going to be faster because I just came from that direction, and there's a really bad accident on that route. And he says, I know that this route is going to be the way we're going to go. It's going to feel like it's a longer route, but you're going to get there on time. How many of you know, as the time started getting closer and closer to my meeting, I felt more at peace. I relaxed a little bit. I enjoyed the ride a little bit. Man, I think I even took a little five-minute power nap. Because the longer route, as even though it was longer, it was the safer, it was the better, more protected route. God works all things for the good. All things. And this story in Exodus is one of those stories, if you don't read the Bible this way, I just encourage you, maybe you should, where you read the Bible and you're like, this is nuts. Do you read your Bibles that way, church? Come on, this is it. I'm an interactive kind of, I'm Italian. I'm like, well, hey, talk back to me. Like, you ever read the scriptures and you're like, this is crazy. Two loaves and a couple pieces of bread, you know, fish and some loaves, like, and he multiplies it for 50. Hey, Lazarus, come out of the grave. He comes walking out, like. Come on, church. Like, the Bible's better than most novels you're reading on the bookshelf. Like, it's awesome and it's wild and it's crazy. And then all of a sudden, God just releases the people from Israel, or from Egypt, the people of Israel from Egypt. And they're tired, they're worn out. They were in slavery, they were in bondage. My son and I watched, is it the Charlton Heston old movie? Like, once again, all the old, I'm building rapport with the older people in the room. It's Let My People Go. And my son and I were watching this a few years ago, and they were building the buildings back then, and they had the big blocks and all that stuff. And my son's like, Dad, that must have been heavy. And I was like, yes, and I don't know how, I have no idea, but heavy. They used these people for some gnarly work. He's like, Dad, where were the excavators? Where were the cranes? He's asking me. I'm like, son, they used them to build some. These people were tired. They were exhausted. They were malnourished. And God's like, you've been free. But now I'm going to take you on a way that's much longer than the way that's going to be shorter. You work all things for the good? Come on. Wait. God, you're going to take these people on a longer journey than the shorter route. Do you know, God, what you're doing? Like, have you ever been in a moment where you're like, God, do you know what you're doing? For context, can I have that map for all the Old Testament scholars in the room? I have a map. How many of you ever open up the Bible and see the maps? You're like, what are these things? None of you. I opened the Bible. I was like, these are cool. I have no idea what they mean. The number one is where they were departing from. All the way across to 18 is the route in which they take. This dotted. Wouldn't it make sense if God was good to take them from number one just straight across along the waterfront? It'd be a nice ride along the waterfront. It'd be a coastal drive. We'll have a great view. Are you with me? Doesn't it make sense? Like God, why are you doing this? This is a lot of extra time. And actually, scholars would say it took them anywhere from 5 to 7 days longer of a journey. Like 5 to 7. Listen, they weren't in cars. They weren't in airplanes. They were walking with some sandals. Not some Tevas. Some sandals. Through some heavy terrain. And God's like, I'm good. I'm good. I know what I'm doing here. Like, wouldn't you just take the route straight across? I would have paid the tolls. Like, I would have paid the tolls just let's just go straight across, God. That's wild. Is that wild? And I read that, I'm like, thank you, team. I read that, I'm like, God, why? Why would you do that to them? God, why in so many moments of my life do I feel like, God, I'm going down that dotted line when you could just take me from point A to point B so fast and we'll just make this thing happen quick and it'll be good. And God, why? You work all things for the good? See, when it comes to building trust with God, we've got to come to grips with this. God knows better than we do. It's like, it's a simple thing. But somehow in 2025, with AI and ChatGPT and all this stuff, we think we know more than God. Like, we think we know how to plan our lives better than God. Okay, I feel like, let me just say, I know how to plan my life better than God does. And I take the reins of control back, and I'm like, God, let me figure this thing out. I know the shortest route. I know how to get this thing going. I know how to move me from here to here. I know how to take my family from here to here. God, I got it. And we have to come to this moment that actually what's happening there is there's a lack of trust. There's actually a disbelief mutation in my heart that's developed saying, God, I actually don't think you're good. And God, I actually don't think I can trust you. So I'm going to take back control and I'm going to go on the shorter journey. See, to develop trust with God, you got to trust. You got to come to grips with that God knows better than you do. That before you were born, he knit you together. Come on, this is the Bible. And he put you together in your mother's womb perfectly. Perfectly, he put you together. And he breathed destiny and plans and purposes into your life. He spoke you and he created you. He formed you and he knows so much better than you do for your life. But that map shows that right? Come on, you've never yelled at God? Have any of you ever yelled at God? Can you yell at God? And some of you are like, oh, this is my first time being at church. This pastor's crazy. He's telling me I can yell at God. Sorry, just talk to the pastors here afterwards. I'll see you guys later. And you can yell. I can't tell you how many times I've been, God, you don't know what you're doing. And he's like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do know what I'm doing. I do know what I'm doing. He's saying today, I do know what I'm doing. Do you trust me? See, the problem with the path, can I have that map one more time, team? Thank you. The problem with 1 to 18 is that what they didn't know, God knew. That along that path, that oceanfront view, scholars would say there was outposts every few moments with anywhere from 50 to 100 Egyptian soldiers waiting at those outposts. Okay, are you tracking with me? God, why are we going the longer way? Why are we going this way? Why don't we just go from that one straight across? Because God knows better than we do. See, if I'm in charge of the people, I'm like, come on, guys. Come on, guys, I got a better route. I know what I'm doing here. And we would have landed probably at the first outpost where we would have met a battle. We would have met a moment where it would have been really hard. And I think I would have met that moment and been like, time to go back. Turn it around. See, we want fast. We want quick. And then when that develops and it turns into it, we actually go, God, you weren't with me. Can I just preach for a moment? We want the fast route. We want the quick fix. We want the quick healing. We want the quick development. And then when we get to that point, that first moment of battle, of struggle, we're like, God, you weren't with me. And then you turn around and you start heading back to the world. See, trust in the Father is so precious and pure, and it's for us to learn today that God, yes, this might be faster. God, this might be quicker. God, this might be feel better. But God, if I go this way, I don't know what's on the other side of that, but you know. And if I go that way, I might end up in a battle, in a moment, in a situation you never called for me. And we're seeing too many believers go, Egypt's better. Egypt's better. In this moment of faith right here, God's like, I know what I'm doing. Is this okay this morning? You all quiet, church? You all right? Because see, the way with God may not always be the God way will always be the best way. It might not be the fastest way, but it would be the Father-led way. We need God to father us. Like trust is, see, I tell my kids all the time, you got to trust me. You got to trust me. How many of you know? I can't just say it's earned. It's developed. Parents are like, no, they need to trust me. No, I got to grab my son's hand when we're crossing the street, even though he doesn't want me to. And I got to say, son, I'm your dad. If a car comes down this way, I'm going to be responsible. It's going to be really bad. Let me father you for a moment. We got to come to grips with, like, God knows better. And God, some of you in this room, you're like, God, it feels like you're taking me down the longest path of my life. I had this dream. I had this thing in my heart. I thought I'd be married by now. I thought I'd have kids by now. I thought I would have this. I thought I would have that. And God's like, I'm not interested in any of that. What I'm interested in is are you going to grow in trust with me? Are you going to let me develop you in the place of trust? See, when it comes to trust, I think we got to make sure that we don't look at God as a God of disappointment when he's actually developing us. I'm trying to help us here. See, I would look at that and be so disappointed. I'd be like, man, I haven't had my macros. I haven't had my micros. I haven't had a protein shake. I've had nothing. And now you want us to walk an additional 5 to 7 days down this pathway? Like, God, we were just in slavery. Come on. And he's like, yeah, I know, but I'll provide for you. I got you. He's like, because I'm not interested. I'm not interested in your destiny. I'm interested in your development. I feel like something has happened. Maybe this is more the I feel like something has happened over the course of maybe not this church, but just maybe in the church where we're so consumed about destiny in God. Can I just tell you, I'm trying to balance, like I'm so for God's destiny. I believe God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I believe all that, yes and amen. I'm not negating any of that. But sometimes we look at the destiny more than we look at the development. And I think in trusting God, you have to know that when you know that his hand is on you, he's developing you. He's not concerned about getting you to the place. He's concerned about your character being strong for you to handle the place. Oh, I don't think you're hearing. See, he's not interested in going, oh, yeah, it's okay. We'll get you guys there in a couple days. Because I don't understand God. God's a mystery to me at times. But he must have caught something in the people, whether it was because he saw the battles, whether it's because. But he says something here. He says, if they faced a battle, they will return to Egypt. He's going, I got to develop the people of Israel's character. I got to develop their strength. I got to help them right now develop. And if it does take me 5 to 7 more days to develop something in them, God's like, it's worth it. Can I tell you? He's not a God of disappointment. Disappointment's not in his vocabulary. That's a good, really good place to say amen. He's not a disappointing God. He's not trying to spite you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to do any of that for you. Sure, he gives and he takes. Sure, 100%. And it's most of the time, 99.99%, it's because he's trying to develop you in the place of trust. He's trying to say, hey, if I take you on this journey, will you still trust me? Hey, if I take you on the journey that maybe you're not married yet, but I do have someone for you, but it's just going to maybe be a little bit more time because I got to develop you in the place of being a husband, being prepared to be a husband, being a man of God. Will you take that development or will you go, this is too hard and return back to Egypt? Is this helping today? He's not interested. Maybe I need to say that different. He's all about what he's put inside. He wants a return on his investment in you. 100%. Your talents, you're responsible for them. Okay? You're responsible to have a return, but I'm so convinced now more than ever that he's just wanting to develop his church. Because what he doesn't want for his church is to take shortcuts and land at an outpost where there's a battle and we lose the battle and we walk away. He's interested in seeing battles won. He's interested in seeing victory happen. He's interested in seeing development take place so that the development of your character can build you to be the people that God's always called us to be. The long way is not fun. Come on, right? It's not fun. I hate driving. I don't want to drive longer than 3.5 hours. I have a cutoff. If it's longer than 3.5 hours, I'm finding a different way, mostly a flight. My wife thinks I'm ridiculous. I don't want to go that way. I want the short, easy, convenient way. But if I do that, I'm going to find myself lacking development. And what we don't realize, I'm going to mess with the team for a sec. They're like, he's coming down. He's already crazy. He's coming down. He's coming down. He's coming. See, this would be the quickest way to the back. Right here. Yes? Like I could walk easily. It's good. Short. Y'all doing all right? Hey, you look amazing. This is easy. I could even walk backwards. Because I know this is the easy, this is the quick, this is the way, this is easy. This is easy road. I didn't grow one bit just doing that. But you know what I've come to find out with God? When he takes me a little longer, God, why are we going this way? Because he wants to develop me, he wants to teach me something. You know what the longer way is? Hi. Can I sneak through here? Oh, this is awkward. But you know, no, move, it's okay. God's developing me right now. He's teaching me how to love people. Hi, how are you? You good? Is this your first time here? I really hope not. Oh, we're so glad. Like, I'm learning. This girl's like, please get this guy out of here.
I'm learning God right now. I'm discovering maybe something I didn't learn in God through other people. I'm going a little longer with the Lord, and he's developing me. Is this helping you? Like, how are you? You guys are amazing. Are you married? Oh, may your marriage be strong and strengthened in the Lord. Like, would you continue? Like, I'm learning stuff. This man's the best dressed man in CT. Can you teach me how to be fashionable? Can you teach me what you're learning in the Lord? I know I'm going somewhere with God, but right now I need to learn from this man right here. I need to discover what he's learning in God. I need to be developed in the place of God with this man. Yeah? She just puts her head down like, please don't talk to me. This is easy. And often, most of the time, we want this. And God's like, I'm not interested in this. I'm interested in this. You'll touch more people. You'll reach more people. You'll discover the power of God and his Holy Spirit in more ways than you could ever hope, dream, or imagine. He's not interested in short. God, why are we going this way? Because he needs to teach you something. God, why are we going this way? Because he needs to take something out of your heart. God, why are we going this way? Because he needs to break something in you that's been there for a long time. Even though you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he's still sanctifying. God, why isn't my gifting being used at CT? I'm so gifted. I got people that come to work. They're like, I'm so gifted. I'm ready to preach. I'm like, brother, I just met you. They're like, it's my gift. Can I just tell you, none of it is your gift. This isn't my gift. This is God's gift. And if I don't go into the place of development with God the long way, I'll make this gift my own. And if I make this gift my own, I will see myself in a lot of trouble that God never designed for me to go into. Isn't it the goodness of God for them not to face the Egyptian army on those outposts? Isn't it the goodness of God to keep them from facing battles that they weren't prepared for? Isn't it the goodness of God? Because he works all things. I feel the Lord. Woo. God anticipates more. He sees danger before you do. He sees the outcome before you do. And he's just looking around going, hey, there's going to be battles. There's going to be things you got to go through. There's going to be things you're going to face. And you're going to see breakthrough and victory in Jesus' name. But you know, some of us are like, we're going to tear down the strong man of Chicago. I'm all for intercession. I'm here for it. Let's go. But you know what some of us need? We need to be developed in the place of loving our wives before we start shock-a-locking the strong man. Is this okay? I can't see you all. Is this okay? Like, we're so interested in the spectacular and the tingles and the woo, I'm a Holy Spirit God. But some of us need to get developed in the place of character. And understanding what it looks like to get low, what it looks like to be humbled in the Lord's presence. Because we got too many people getting elevated off of gifting. That's God's gifting. See, the gifts are given without repentance, and God will not take it from somebody. But if we want to see breakthrough in the place of Chicago, we got to go, God, this seems like you're taking me down a route that I wasn't prepared for. I'm going to close in a moment, but my wife and I, we felt called to come to Chicago. And it was a prayerful process of like 3 years before we stepped out. And we were at a university, and I was a football chaplain. I was an athletic recruiter. I had 115 football players under my care. And I did that for 4 years, and my wife and I got married, and so we did it 2 years together. And I hope it's okay to share this. And I remember our first year of marriage, at the end of it, we already knew we were coming to Chicago. We had the dream in our heart. We had the plan. We had the name. We were like, we're coming. And I remember going into my wife, she was sitting in our living room, and I said, babe, like, we're going to go now. We're going to go to Chicago now. School year had ended. I could get out of that position right then and there. I wouldn't leave him hanging. I was like, we're going now. And she looked at me and said, who told you that? I was like, well, I'm a prayerful man. And I prayed. She's like, well, you should go pray again. And I was like, okay. So I go back and I pray. I just feel like we're going to Chicago right now. She's like, babe. I call her my junior Holy Spirit. I said, Rach, I think we need to go. She said, we're not going. She said, I feel like the Lord's not done developing you, and he's not done developing us. And I realized, oh man, I let ambition, I let disbelief, I let a lack of trust in God settle my heart. See, days before that, I was whining and complaining that my gifts were being underused. That I was just in the, we were in the boonies, y'all. Like, we were, like way south. In the middle of nowhere was this university. They just got a Chick-fil-A like 3 years ago, and God's there now, but there was... It's one of those towns where it's Taco Bell and McDonald's, and like, that's it. So it's the land of forsakenness. And I was just like, God, we gotta go now. I know what you're doing. I'm ready. Thank God for strong people. That's why you don't want to go on the journey by yourself. And I remember falling on my face in that moment. I repented. I said, God, I was just being ridiculous. I'm sorry. Like, Lord, if you have us here for another year to develop us, to take us, I'm not happy about it. I think you can say that to God. I'm not happy about it. I don't know if I'm going to fully enjoy this, but I'm going to do it. See, what I've learned about God is that it's a long-term obedience that brings blessing. And it's just a simple yes to God, even if it has to go kicking and screaming. Just saying yes to God. And so I said yes. And I don't want to cry right now, but it brings me to tears. That year, we saw over 50 young men give their lives to Jesus. I saw all those men get baptized. I saw, and this isn't me or Rachel and I, please hear me, but we were the people standing in the gap for those boys, and we stood there with them, and we helped them, and we walked with them, and we discipled them. We had more counseling sessions on our couches with boyfriends and girlfriends who turned out to be married. Some broke up for the good. We saw more freedom in these boys' lives, and I'm sitting there going, God, if we would have left, if we would have just taken the shorter route because we thought it was better, we would have missed all of this. And when we did leave, I felt the favor of the Lord upon us. I felt like the covering of the Lord upon us. I felt like he was in front of us and behind us, because the reality is this: as you develop in the place of trust with God, as you allow for him, the promise is that this is what he says. He says, I will go before you and I will be behind you. It's crazy. God is so, he works things for the good. It says that while they were there, he was in front of them with the pillar of cloud, and it was behind them with the fire. What a scene, what a moment. But that's the goodness of God. He works all things for the good. That looked like a long way, God. Yeah, but guys, I know what I'm doing, God's saying. I've handled this before. I know what I'm doing. He's a good God. And he's going, hey, if you just stay with me on this journey, if you just stay with me on this path that seems a lot longer, you're going to be developed in me. You're going to know me. You're going to have history with me. And I promise to be with you. See, some of us in this room, we want to give up on God right now. And maybe that's the whole reason why I felt like this message changed. Easter came. You had a great experience on Easter Sunday. The tomb is empty. Praise God. The tomb's still empty, by the way. And you can treat every Sunday like Easter Sunday. You can rejoice and be glad in him because of the tomb. But some of you had Easter experience. And now you're back in the place fishing. You're like, well, I thought it was going to be different. I wanted this quick fix. I thought I'd get saved and my bank account would be filled and I'd have all these friends and I'd have great community and I would just, can I tell you, when I got saved, I lost all my friends. Because they weren't my friends. I experienced a lot more what felt like he was taking, but what actually he was doing, he was giving. And I'm just here to tell you, don't give up on God because he hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on the path that God's put you on, because he sees it, he knows it, he's planned it, and it's a good path for you. We can trust God. Come on, we can trust God. He's a good God. Would you stand to your feet? What I've come to realize is that I want the long road as long as Jesus is on it with me. I don't want easy street. See, you weren't saved for easy street. You were saved for obedient street. Come on. You were saved and redeemed so that he could get the glory. And now he's in charge. When you said yes to the King and the Lord of Jesus, that means now he's in charge over your life and heart. Some of us just need to be reminded of that. And what I've come to find out and realize with God walking with him is like, it doesn't make sense. God, it doesn't make sense why we had to wait a little longer for our firstborn. God, it doesn't make sense why Oasis Church Chicago doesn't have a building yet. It doesn't make sense, God, that, you know, I thought I would be in my 30s and I'd have all the things set up for my family, but I'm not there yet. It doesn't make sense, God. And he just whispers in my ear, but son, I'm before you and I'm behind you and I'm all around you and my ways are higher than your ways. Come on, can we just give the Lord just a moment of praise in this place? He's a good God. He is a good God. We have to have a really big theology of how good God is.